This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Time now here on RNIB Connect Radio for an update on the work of the RNIB Voice of the Customer focus groups, and this time it is all about mental well-being. I am delighted to say that I am now joined by Robin Kay from the RNIB's Insight and Customer Voice team, Bryony, who is visually impaired and took part in the recent Voice of the Customer focus groups, and also Amanda Hawkins from the RNIB's Mental Health Services, to give me a bit of an insight and maybe reflect on the recent Voice of a Customer focus group meetings. Hello and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio, Robin, Bryony and Amanda.
Hello, Toby. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Toby. Thanks for having me too.
And thank you from me, Amanda. Really glad to be here.
Firstly, Robin, would you be able to remind me and the listeners as to what the Voice of the Customer research programme here at the RNIB is all about and how the focus groups fit in with all the research that the RNIB is doing around inclusion for blind and partially sighted people?
Of course. So the Voice of the Customer programme is part of our approach to putting the voice of blind and partially sighted people at the heart of everything we do here at RNIB. They help us to shape and direct the work that we do on an ongoing basis. And every 3 months, we speak to around 400 or so people through our tracker survey and around 18 or so participants who take part in a series of focus groups within that time. This allows us to keep up to date with the issues that matter the most to blind and partially sighted people, and also helps us to respond to the issues and needs in a timely and appropriate way. We focused on mental well-being, as you've mentioned. So why mental well-being? Well, mental well-being is an area that includes our emotional, psychological, and social well-being. It affects how we think, feel, and act, and it helps to determine how we handle stress and relate to others, and also how we make healthy life choices. So people who are adapting to sight loss often experience a period of reduced mental health as they find new ways of living their lives, basically due to an enforced change and having to basically relearn to navigate a world that's built for sighted people.
Bryony, you took part in the recent Voice of a Customer focus groups around mental well-being. Why did you want to join the groups, and how do you see your involvement in the groups help to understand the emotional impact that sight loss does have on many people?
I think for me, sight loss, you know, obviously it's huge for me, but I think other people don't always understand how it affects everything else, because it is a hidden disability. And I think most of us are quite good about putting a smile on our face and trying to get on with it. But last year I was struggling. My eyesight condition had worsened, and I was just feeling a bit low and isolated, I suppose a bit depressed, really. So when I saw this focus group, I thought, yeah, that's sort of shouting out to me. I just hope I can get something out of this, but also give something to other people. So yeah, it just ticked the boxes for me at the right time.
And was it fun, and I suppose in a way good to be part of and also have that opportunity to talk to other blind and partially sighted people?
It was lovely to have that opportunity, and I'm not going to say it wasn't fun, because it was fun. They were great people and we had quite a lot of laughs and stuff, but it was quite an emotional journey. There was laughs and tears and some real deep sharing of feelings and situations and good connections made. We still keep in touch, some of us. So it was a mixture of all sorts, but it was very raw and real, and it was just how it should be, I think.
And did you learn much from sort of chatting about sort of mental well-being with other blind and partially sighted people? Because I do think it's quite nice to have that opportunity to talk to other people who are sort of going through the same things.
Yeah, I think at the start of the groups, we were all like almost on our best behaviour and sort of trying to answer questions in quite a positive way, in that, you know, we almost didn't want to bare our souls. But as time went on, suddenly we were all sharing quite deep feelings and behaviours, and we just all seemed to have some of the same coping strategies. So it just normalised some of the things I was feeling and doing. And also that feeling that other people have got through some of these issues, so it's not the end of the world. It's like a phase, And with the right support and doing something about it, you can make a difference.
Yeah, and I suppose also it's good for other blind and partially sighted people to get involved in these focus groups as well, because, you know, it'd be good for them to take part.
Yeah, and I think it gives people a voice, because I think one of the things about being disabled is at times you just feel you haven't got a voice, or you don't quite count, or you don't quite matter. And, you know, to be part of something like this focus group, actually they were listening to the experts, because we are the experts of our own lives. So it really felt like people cared enough to take on the importance of what we were saying, and to give us that opportunity to be honest and to say what we needed to say in a very sort of supported and like organized environment. You know, I mean, we didn't have to do anything massive. We didn't have to go anywhere. It was just our thoughts and feelings and what we said that was important.
Robin, what have you learnt from the key findings of the recent Voice of the Customer focus groups?
So we found a few things. Our first key finding was that the experience of sight loss has an emotional impact. And what we mean by that is that the experience of sight loss can be emotionally charged, often compounded by a lack of empathy from professionals. The delivery of a diagnosis and ongoing eye care conversations significantly impacts an individual's emotional processing and acceptance of their condition. Many individuals experienced anxiety, frustration, and shock during their diagnosis, and feeling isolated and lacking confidence to seek information or support. Our second finding, there is a need for comprehensive support and better understanding among professionals. There's a significant lack of emotional support and guidance for individuals navigating sight loss, basically. And despite the often traumatic and emotional impact, many individuals tell us that they did not receive the adequate support or information from professionals. And improved access to emotional support at diagnosis and throughout the adjustment process is crucial for promoting independence and well-being. But we also found that peer support is hugely important, as it plays a role in helping individuals to cope with sight loss, sharing experiences with others who have faced similar challenges, plus a sense of understanding and validation. So establishing peer support networks and providing guidance from those who have experienced sight loss themselves can greatly benefit individuals' emotional well-being and adaptation to their new reality, basically.
Bryony, as a Voice of the Customer focus group member, how does it make you feel knowing that all your sort of comments and feedback is being sort of noted by the RNIB and taken back to shape all the work that the RNIB does?
I think it's fantastic, because who else is sticking up for us, really? Who else is leading on that? And who else is going to be listened to, like the RNIB? So for me, it's a no-brainer, really, that this was our opportunity, and it's great that we're going to be listened to, because it is, it's like a bereavement when you lose or your eyesight starts to go, or you lose it completely. And, you know, it is like going through that whole bereavement process, and it's different for everybody, but we do need that ongoing support, and we just need people to think about that rather than just to deliver the messages or the treatments. We need that extra support, and often our families as well.
Amanda, as the key stakeholder for all this research, what happens with all this research and the key findings, you know, sort of when it comes back to the RNIB?
Yeah, before I answer that question, Toby, I just wanted to say thank you, actually, to both the Insight team and for the people that engaged in the focus groups. As someone who's headed up the counselling service for 15 years, you know, I can't tell you the stories that we hear about how people are really struggling with their mental health. But because of the confidentiality, and that needs to be there so people can really speak freely about what they're going through, we can't share those stories. So, you know, the fact that people have been brave enough to come in and talk about the emotional impact really adds weight to what we're able to do. So I just want to say a massive thank you to the team and for the people that engaged, because without your, you know, input, we can't move this agenda on. So what are we doing about it? Now we've got this evidence, clear evidence. It really helps us to form a strategy about how we address those specific issues. So the first thing that we're doing is we're working really closely with the Royal College of Ophthalmologists to think about what ophthalmologists can do differently at diagnosis. We know that people come away with a lasting impact and a lasting bruise from how they were told that they were going to lose their sight. We need to do that differently, with more empathy. The other thing is, we need to make every contact count. So we tell people how to use bump-ons, we tell people how to use a cane, we tell people how to use a liquid level indicator. But going back to what Bryony said earlier, we don't normalise the fact that actually one of the first things is this emotional impact. It's not the physical adaptation, it's the emotional adaptation. And people get really frustrated that, you know, they don't want to be using a bump-on in the first place. And unless we acknowledge that and support them at that point, they can't move on to this other transformation. So the fact that we're going to be upskilling all of our frontline staff, not just the sector, but also in the NHS, to ask how people are feeling, how they're adapting, and give them an inroad into support is really, really important. And I think the third finding was about this sense of connection, you know, this sense of, I want to talk to somebody else, that feeling of, okay, so I'm not that person anymore, not the person I was before I got this diagnosis, before I started losing my sight, but I am part of something else. I'm connected to someone else, and us kind of facilitating that. And I think we just need to acknowledge we can do that in a light touch way. The connection that Bryony talked about, being part of that focus group and feeling safe enough to talk about those difficult feelings, we can facilitate that. So I know we're doing a root and branch review of how we want to connect people, and we will be guided by, you know, people with a visual impairment. You know, tell us how you want to connect. You're adults, how do you want to get that connection? We live in this brave new world with internet and technology. I'm sure there are ways that we can connect people.
Finally, Robin, if listeners would like to get involved in some of the research, such as taking part in the Voice of the Customer focus groups, where can people go to find out more?
Well, we're actively recruiting, well, encouraging people to take part in our research. And I just want to say your voice is really important to us if you do choose to do that. So if you want to get involved, you can call our helpline on 0303 123 9999 and ask to sign up to the Voice of the Customer research. You can also email us at customervoice@rnib.org.uk. That's customervoice@rnib.org.uk. I'd also, Amanda's already touched on this, but I would like to take the opportunity to thank you, Bryony, for taking part today, and to everyone who took part in our focus groups and the survey that we did on this topic. We really appreciate you taking the time to help us with our research.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Bryony, Robin and Amanda, for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio and giving me an insight and telling me a little bit more about the great work that the Voice of a Customer focus groups does and other research here at the RNIB.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Toby. Thank you for having us. And thank you, Bryony and Amanda and everyone who took part.